This is a very familiar parable, and we're going to read it together and draw several great principles from it. Luke chapter number 12. This particular parable is entitled The Parable of the Rich Fool. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I think all of us would agree that it's a very foolish man who says that God does not exist. The truth of the matter is, there are no real atheists, just people that want to live like there is no God. And just as foolish as it is for someone to say with their lips there is no God, it's equally foolish for someone to live like there is no God. And that was the mistake that the man in this particular parable made. The Lord Jesus is speaking, of course, and talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. When you come to verse number 13, he's interrupted. And notice what the Bible says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." I want you to take your pen in hand and go to verse number 15 and mark the phrase, beware of covetousness. Basically, the Lord Jesus is speaking. He's interrupted by a man who wants Christ to settle a family dispute. And the Lord Jesus takes this opportunity to give a parable to all the multitudes who were there and to his disciples to teach them of the great danger of living a covetous life. When a person is covetous, they're living for themselves. They're trying to get all they can get, gain all they can gain. And he gives this story beginning in verse number 16. The Bible says, "He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" You may want to mark in verse number 17 the phrase, "He thought within himself." That was his first mistake. He did not consider God. He was merely thinking within himself, reasoning with himself, trying to work it all out by logic. Pastor says often that we either live by faith or we live by sight, by force. This is a man who was living by sight. He was trying to reason it all out. Verse 18, he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." I want you to go to verse number 20 and mark the phrase, "thou fool." And then circle the little word midway through verse 20, "then." All of life can be summed up by two words, now and then. And now is the moment in time that God has given us to live. Then refers to the time when life ends as we know it on this earth, and we stand before Almighty God. The truth of the matter is, most people in our world are living now for now. That's a very foolish thing to do. We're to be living now for then. In other words, everything I do every day is to be done in light of eternity, with the thought in mind that someday, and someday sooner than I think, I'm going to stand and give an account of my life before God. That was the most foolish thing this man did. He was living a short-sighted life, seeing only what was going on around him, and not seeing God in eternity. There are three great truths I want to draw your attention to from this particular parable that the Lord Jesus gives us. First of all, he shows us the failure of success. Look back to verse number 16. The Bible says that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. You should mark that word. He had more than he needed, more than he even knew what to do with. One of his great mistakes, he continually says, I will pull down my barns. I will build greater. I will do this. And he was so full of himself that he forgot God. The failure of success is that if I live my life and work and labor and succeed in the world's eyes, but fail in light of eternity, my whole life is a failure. And here is a man who lives his life, and by everybody's estimation, he did great. He made it. I was thinking about somebody recently that is very well known in our society that arrived in America with just a few dollars in his pocket. And by everyone's estimation, he's made it. He is well known. He has lots of money. He has everything you could imagine. And yet, he is not rich towards God. He has failed in succeeding. I've heard pastors say so many times that the thing he fears most is not in failure. It is in succeeding in that which does not matter. Making it in the thing that does not count with God. That's the failure of success. We live in a culture where people are so caught up with working hard and trying to make it that they forget that the Christian life is not about what all we can do. It's about what only God can do in our lives. And may God help all of us. The truth of the matter is, we like to look at this parable and think this is just a lost man. And there are lots of lost people that live this way. But the sad indictment is that some of us who have been saved for many years live with this same philosophy. And God help us to be delivered from it, the failure of success. The second truth you learn from this lesson is the future of sinners. Notice verse number 20. God says to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then, who shall those things be?" In other words, your eternal soul is going to live on forever somewhere. And all these things, all the stuff that you've accumulated, it's going to belong to somebody else then. Then who shall those things be? The future of sinners is very bleak. Ted Turner, who is of national status, said recently that he did not hold out much hope for humanity. In his estimation, he thought humanity would be gone and extinct in 50 years. That's a man who lives his life with no hope. Now, he's got lots of things, everything anybody could imagine to make a man happy, supposedly. He's succeeded. And yet he has no hope. Why? Because he does not have God. When a man does not have God in his rightful place in his life, does not live in light of eternity, he has no hope. He has no reason to live. You should mark down this reference. Jude, verse number 13, talks about going into the blackness of darkness forever. And our lives are either lived one of two ways. Either lived shining more and more to the perfect light, to the perfect day, the Bible says, or they live getting darker and dimmer, going into the blackness of darkness forever. That is the future of the sinner, apart from God, away from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you could do anything Sunday morning in your Sunday school class for the lost person who may be attending, make them think about then. Force them to think about the day in their life when they take their last breath, they live their last day, they've made their last dollar, and now they stand face to face with Almighty God on the brink of eternity. I'm going to tell you something, that's a sobering thought. It's sobering not just for the lost man, it's sobering for you and I who are believers, to make our lives count for what matters most to the Lord. The third lesson we learn from this parable is the faith of the saved. I want you to look at verse number 21. He says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." That's quite a phrase, rich toward God. This means that if it is possible for a man not to be rich towards God, it's also possible for a man to be rich towards God. I like what the Apostle John said. He prayed about a certain individual that he would prosper and be in health even as his soul prospered. Let me ask you a question. If somebody prayed for you and I to prosper materially in direct proportion to the way we prospered spiritually, how wealthy would we be? Most of us would be very poor people. It is possible to be rich towards God, to allow God to do the work in our lives which only He can do. And here is the faith of the saved. It is to live every day trusting that God's going to provide for me, God's going to take care of every need I have, and then when my life on earth is over, I'm going to heaven. What a way to live! That is the faith of the saved. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather choose the faith of the saved than the future of the sinners. I don't want to go into the blackness of darkness forever. Read on in the same passage. Look at the context. Verse 22. Immediately after giving this parable, he says to his disciples, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them." What a beautiful phrase. God feedeth them. "How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Would you mark that phrase, little faith? "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." Oh, how many days I've been of doubtful mind. "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And then notice verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In other words, do not live for your own pleasure. Realize that God's pleasure is to take care of you. God's going to feed you. God's going to take care of you. So basically, the way we live our lives boils down to one of two roads. We either live our life like the man in the story who's just constantly trying to scheme his way through and make all he can and work hard but dies a fool. The Bible says of Abner, Abner died as a fool. God help us not to die as a fool. If you don't want to die as a fool, don't live as a fool. Don't live your life foolishly apart from God. And the other route that can be lived is the life of faith that just simply says, I may never have all the things that others may have, but I believe my Heavenly Father is pleased to take care of me. I'm going to let Him feed me. And in the end, I'm going to heaven for eternity. What a way to live. And may God help us not to live as this rich fool, but to be rich towards God.